Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. We have Andy Evenson today with us. Hi, Andy.
Hey, good to hear from you again, Gabor.
Yeah, good to hear from you also, all the way from Minnesota. And I'm sitting in the desert sweating because it's end of summer. It's still hot here. And but it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And Andy's going to go into his nice.
It's been hot here, too.
It's hot everywhere. We're going to talk about, it's not a controversial subject, but it's always a hot topic, is opaque medium with watercolors. If you can give us your two cents on this one, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, basically you can just throw the name John Singer Sargent and drop, mic drop, right?
I should play one of those sounds. I don't know. Oh, one of these sounds. I mean, like there, or something like that.
There you go, the mic drop.
Mic drop. I have these sounds on this board, but yeah. So.
But yeah, the folks who think that that's not true watercolor, that's just ridiculous. Sargent's watercolors are considered, you know, and rightly so, some of his best work, his masterpieces, and they're just full of opaque paint. And most of the great watercolor artists of the past used it. You know, Turner used it, Homer used it. Wyeth had opaque work on his watercolors. And so I don't understand, you know, I'm not sure where this came from.
I could be wrong on this, but isn't some of the watercolor societies try to set the rules kind of thing? Is that where
Bit? I'm sure. There are some, obviously, that want to stick to, and then that's fine. You know, transparent watercolor is a different animal. And when you have to, not rely on gouache, there's a little bit of a different approach. It's a little bit more premeditated, I think. So, the paintings that, a lot of those societies, they're not allowing gouache, it seems like that kind of lends itself to a lot more
Sargent would have been denied. I mean, if you think about it, right? Like, sorry, Mr. Sargent, nice piece, but we don't do that, right? It sounds crazy.
It does. Yeah, but I don't use a ton of gouache, but one of my favorite colors right now is made by Holbein, and it's lavender, and it's got some white in it. It's kind of an opaque watercolor. Mm-hmm. And I like to use that in my sky mixtures a lot of times. It takes the edge off of the strong, you know, cobalt blue, and I'm just adding a little bit of that in. And there's also some colors with watercolor that are literally almost impossible to mix without getting some of the white in there. We were talking in a previous podcast about the colors in the desert and these kind of dusty, neutral colors. And a lot of times you just have to add a little bit of gouache to some of those mixtures to dull them down and gray them down and get the color you want. So I'm of the opinion that use what you need to use to make a good painting, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But like I said, I try not to, I'm not going to paint the side of a white sailboat with white gouache. I can negatively paint around most of the larger white shapes and leave them behind. But for smaller little things like some of the railings on a boat or a little bit of a mast or some rigging lines or something, you can either scrape them out. But if they're a little wider, I'll come in with a small brush and pop them on some of those small details with gouache on top.
If someone's new to watercolor or learning, would you at that point just kind of tell them not to use it just so they understand the medium?
Oh, no.
Or would you say, hey,
I tell them you can always come back in, because I think, you know, especially when you're learning, people are so, you know, watercolor can be very nerve-wracking because it's in the back of your mind all the time. I can't go back and fix this.
Yeah.
You know, what I put down is there, you know, so it's a tough medium to just paint with, you know, and have that little bit of that freedom to your approach. So I tell them, you know, it's kind of a running joke in some of my workshops. I've heard students say that, don't worry, we should have t-shirts that say, don't worry about it. You know, I keep trying to tell my students, don't worry about it. You know, you can always come back in later and with a dark or lift it out or put gouache in, you know, some of these small little shapes that they're worried about, you know, right from the beginning of the painting. I tell them, don't screw up, you know, painting your big sky wash because there's one little light tree branch sticking up in front of it, you know, just paint that big, worry about the big problems first, and then the little problem will take care of themselves. And you can always come back in, like I said, and either scratch it out with your fingernail or come back in with some gouache and put a little light branch or something in there.
So So you got a, I mean, that doesn't matter what medium it is. That's the human mind that the filling in part is we should allow that, and we're not allowing in the beginning. I think when we're learning about painting, we want to like spell everything out.
Yeah.
That's a, yeah. It's, I think it happens to everybody in the beginning.
People don't start out as loose painters, you know, because you're learning the mechanics of the medium, and there's so many things you don't understand and you have to get used to. And, you know, especially, you know, with watercolor, it's such a tricky medium to get used to the consistency of your paint and how wet your paper is, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, worrying about little things like a small white shape is just one of the problems that I just as soon, you know, let them have the freedom to just not concern themselves with that and come back in and put it in with gouache at the end.
So you'd rather see,
and again, that's not just, that's little shapes, you know. Yeah. I try and make sure that they're, you know, creating some good negative shapes in the larger part of the painting process. But mm-hmm. Just don't sweat the small stuff. That's what I always say.
So you'd rather see a loose painting from a student, but that might have some issues, but at least they're going in there and not worrying about the small stuff, right? Like just cranks.
Yeah.
I mean, practice that more than, you know, the tree.
Worry
limbs.
About the big problems. Yeah, or, exactly. Or, yeah. I mean, and again, there's no way Sargent's watercolors would have been that energetic if he had been worried about painting around every small little light shape. That's why he came back on with opaque. I mean, there's some with the gondoliers that mm-hmm. it's like he was painting the background and then a gondolier came in to the scene and he popped in the striped shirt of the gondolier and the, you know, with white gouache, you know, he just put it right on top of everything, mm-hmm. As he was sitting there painting the whole scene. So, but that's why they're so fresh and energetic, is he's not worried about that stuff. Yeah.
Okay. And do you, should they be careful about, make sure you clean your brushes more, different type of brushes when you're using the gouache in there, or just, are you into just using the same brushes, or does it tend to destroy
a
little
bit? I use the same brushes for my watercolors as I do with gouache. But typically, when I'm using gouache, I'm using a smaller synthetic brush because, again, it's usually for some small little details. So, but I'll use that same brush, you know, for my actual mm-hmm. watercolor, and it rinses right out. You know, you don't want to mm-hmm. ever, even with watercolor, you don't want to just leave the paint on your brush and let it dry. So you just swish it in the water, and mm-hmm. it'll come off. But you do have to kind of pay a little bit of attention if your water is starting to get too much gouache in it, or if you're squeezing that gouache out onto your palette to tint it with another color. Yeah. I've done that accidentally before, where I forgot it was there because my palette's white, mm-hmm. and you forget it's there, and all of a sudden I'm getting it mixed in where I didn't want it. So you do have to pay a little bit of attention to that too. But I use the same brushes. Yeah.
Okay. No, those are some great pointers. I'm not sure if you want to add anything to this topic now?
Yeah, not really. But just, and again, it's not always just, you don't have to buy all the colors of gouache. I mean, there's gouache painters. It's becoming mm-hmm. a very popular medium. Mm-hmm. I'm tempted to take a workshop from, you know, someone like Mike Hernandez, mm-hmm. who's a great, I like mm-hmm. his gouache paintings a lot, but I'm seeing a lot of oil painters just going out with little gouache sets, and it looks like mm-hmm. lately too.
It's like in between kind of medium in a way, a little bit.
Yeah.
Like you have a little bit more control, but still has the looseness. You can get loose, the watercolor feel.
So that might be one of the next classes I take for myself, is just mm-hmm. learning how to use that medium to do a whole painting with. Mm-hmm. But you can just get a little tube of white gouache, and if you need a little, you know, pale blue highlight, just mix the gouache with cerulean blue watercolor paint and tint it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't always have to be a white highlight. You can use your actual watercolor paints to color it a little bit. But usually if it's a white highlight, I just take a small synthetic brush, get it a little damp, and I stick it right into the tube of gouache, you know, because if you're using too much water to put it on, it might look opaque when you first put it on, but it's going to dry semi-transparent. You're not going to have a nice mm-hmm. Strong highlight there. But mm-hmm. that can also be used to your benefit if you want. I gave the example of, again, like a Wyeth watercolor. There's one where he painted the lace curtains with gouache, and he just mixed a little bit extra water in there, it looked like, you know. Mm-hmm. So he painted them, and then when it dried, it's kind of this translucent, transparent white shape of a billowing, you know, curtain mm-hmm. coming in the window, and it's just perfect for that mm-hmm. kind of a thing. So, yeah, mm-hmm. it's fun.
That's a good, those are the great pointers. I'm sure we can talk about this more, but just want to thank you for sharing your expertise on this topic with us today.
Always happy to. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Andy. If you guys want to learn more, or you want to learn with Andy, I should say, make sure you check out his online course. It's a full year course. It's a 365-day mentoring course, I should say, because it's truly a meant as a mentoring course, because you spend a full year with Andy online. It's an online course. Check it out at TucsonArtAcademyOnline.com. All the details there. We have some good video talk about what the course is about. If you go to the top of that page there on his page, it's really a beneficial thing so far for a lot of the students that have taken it, or the ones that are still staying in the course. If you're too busy, if your time doesn't allow it, we do have a digital download series from Andy that's basically start to finish demonstrations. But even if you're busy, we have students that are busy, but they still sign up for the course, and they just sort of, you know, pop in and out from the course. There's nothing live. Yeah. There's no Zoom thing in there. And Andy's been teaching this for 2 years, so he sees
a lot of information in there.
A lot of information, and just the difference between the physical versus online. I don't know if one is per se like, you know, better than the other, because we had the physical workshops. It's just it's a different thing, I guess. I don't know how to explain it.
It's a good way to learn. And like I said, life. Yeah, I have students who are concerned, you know, oh my gosh, I've got, you know, this month I'm going to be really busy. Well, you've got 11 more months. You know, so you're exactly right. People kind of pop in and out of it at their leisure and do what they can when they can. Mm-hmm. And that's the nice thing about it. So
it's a community too. It's so great. So you're not on your own, basically. That's kind of the big part of it. So there's other like-minded people in there in the group. So check it out at Tucson Art Academy Online. And all the info is there. So thanks again, Andy.
Thanks for having me. Good to talk to you.
Bye.